listening to Beyond the Veil, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
The following live broadcast may not be suitable for all ages. The views expressed in this show are solely those of the individual providing them and do not represent the opinion of the station, website, or any affiliated partners. Audience discretion is advised. Hi everyone. What show am I on again? No.
Beyond the Veil.
Hi everyone. I'm Xander. Welcome to Beyond the Veil, the Secret World, and we have a jam-packed episode for you tonight. So I thought, hey, what would be really, really cool is maybe like drinking lots of sandpaper. And apparently that wasn't really cool because this is the after fact. You know, I can now pull off such, you know, awesome lines as good, bad, I'm the guy with the shotgun, or balls of steel. You know, I can now pull off lines like that. Apparently, Alistair was talking to me last night, and he says, I am traveling on a linear scale from Xander sick with sore throat, you know, going to Xander fully healthy, but I'm now passing through that Xander pillow talk phase, apparently. And I'm like, well, what are you talking about? And he says, well, this is the point in which you can actually sit there and say these weird erotic lines and so totally pull it off. Do you think
I can
pull
it off? You don't need to be sick in order to pull that off. Trust me, I should know.
Hey, baby, how are you doing?
Bow, chicka, bow, wow.
Oh, yeah. I got balls of steel.
Hey, I got a joke for you.
Ooh, I want to hear your joke.
Okay.
It's not good if you laugh before.
It better be funny now.
I know, right? It better be funny. What are the sexiest barnyard animals?
What are the sexiest barnyard animals? The cock. That was my guess.
Any guesses?
That was my guess, the cock.
No.
And for those of you
hold on, I'll have somebody else say it. Come
here. Chicken brown cow.
Did you hear
it? Yeah.
What? Chicken brown cow?
Brown chicken brown cow.
Brown chicken
bow wow.
Brown chicken brown cow.
I get it. Oh, I get it. That was actually really good.
Okay, good. I'm sorry the payoff was delayed somewhat. Unfortunately, my headset mic is very good in the sense that it does not pick up other sounds very well, but that also means that somebody else speaking in the room isn't heard very well.
No, we heard it perfectly.
Oh, okay. Well, she got up close to the mic.
Yeah, I think the build-up let it down a little bit more.
Say that again?
I think the build-up let it down a little bit more.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's not really good when you full tilt laugh before you told the joke.
Okay, so a little bit of, you know, me and Scooter's personal life, that's like the funniest joke between us.
Brown chicken, brown,
brown
cow.
Brown chicken, brown cow.
And that is going to be the name of this episode.
Totally.
Awesome.
Chicken, brown cow.
Finally contributed something.
There we go. Well, I guess I wasn't very far. Brown chicken, yeah, chicken, cock, yeah, I guess I wasn't that far off then.
No, you weren't.
And then for all of those of you who thought I had said something else, which I did say cock, but I employed something else, you should be ashamed of yourself. They asked about barnyard
did
animals.
Did you say employed?
Implied?
Instead of implied.
Yes, I implied.
Please
this.
Don't employ anything like that while I'm away.
I'm implying that. So we're kind of having a little pseudo get-together dance party here in Argartha. We have us. Antita, how are you tonight?
I'm doing good.
Oh my god, a big guy just appeared. From your skirt and then walked away.
Whoa.
That was kind of
what?
Weird. Literally.
It must have just
literally.
Happened on your screen, though.
No, literally. This like I'm like circling around the crowd. And like for those of you, you can go back and watch the live stream when it's done. Just when I said that, this head appears out of Antita's skirt and walks towards the screen. I'm like, whoa. That's just kind of weird. Anyway, how are you tonight with random heads floating through your skirt?
Apparently, I'm extremely well for someone like that.
That's good. Galadrix, how are you tonight?
I'm good as well. Thank you very much.
Now, I heard you've been an overachiever, a little busy beaver. I got all kinds of really...
Kind of, yeah. Last week was amazing. I got the Master Planner outfit I've been chasing for a year. And 2 days later, I got the Lair jacket, and then I got this thing, the Nightmare Scenario one.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
And right now, we're doing a Funky Chicken. No, that is awesome. I really like radioactive, the backpack. I don't what's the backpack called? You get it from those super soldiers in Carpathian Fangs.
Yeah, it's called the Super Soldier Chemical Tank or something.
Okay.
Yeah, it's.
I remember seeing Tilty wear this once when he appeared like to us, and he was like, "Oh,
yeah."
Yep.
We also have Gigabyte. Gigabyte, how are ya?
Good. Thank you very much.
That is so. We eat and. We can't forget the brown chicken, brown cow, Rowan.
Hey, how are you all?
Not doing good, but I'm here.
Yeah, I haven't, unfortunately, because of, it's old story. I'm still not playing much. Luckily, the computer that I do have, that I am able to play on, plays WildStar fairly okay if all the settings are turned way down. I'll have pictures later this week. They're scary.
So you play the game like on Monday or Tuesday, and then you have to wait till Thursday or Friday for the video to pop up to see if you did something. That's
that
pretty
bad.
That's what I call lag.
No, luckily they have it set and the computer's not that ancient. With the low settings, I get a decent frame rate. And the UI itself is in full resolution, but the world is somewhat more pixelated than I'm used to. But it's a lot of fun. But I wish I was had better That's access to the secret world. What?
You said you wish you were, and then you stopped, and then I filled in Oscar Mayer Wiener.
I do wish I were an Oscar Mayer Wiener, because then everyone would be in love with me.
Uh-huh. And then, ironically, you'd be in everyone's mouth. Think about it. Anyway, I'm not going to torture everybody, like all the listeners out there on Stitcher Satellite Radio, iTunes, on HollowSuiteMedia.com, through our RSS feeds. I'm not going to torture you guys by listening to me with this sore throat, for this whole entire episode. So I'm going to throw it over to the cast. I have to make sure that T was there. So I'm going to throw it over to the cast. They wanted me to, intro the show. So that way it'd be like business as normal, but with me sick. Because they wanted me to make sure that you guys know that I was still here. That I wasn't dead or something. And I became fictional. And then every time you ran a scenario, I would be that dude up on the roof, you know, shooting things. And if you didn't, like, pick up really good loot, I'd shoot you. And then you'd be, like, walking really funny to your next, you know, you get what I mean. Anyway.
Well, ooh, I was more worried that Antida would have killed you and then fled the country. So.
Squirrel.
I would never do that.
But before they take it on, let's go see what happened last week.
Last time on Beyond the Veil, the Secret World.
Yes, there's more, I'm not sure if we're going to have one for next time, because this was a very clean-cut episode, because Xander is not here. Because when Xander's here, hilarity will ensue. This was very cut and dry. Yeah, we miss our Xander.
Because none of the rest of us have any sense of humor.
Yeah, we're bad at humor.
Just a bit.
Oh, those summer.
No, stop.
Nah. I hate.
And you've never heard from again.
He never lands.
No. It's like Faye just waits for those moments, and then he's like, yep, that's going on last time. Xanderhan, you have a message from Davichi on Holosuite XS chat. Get better and flee.
Get better and what? And flee?
Flee.
like buzz off? Like go away?
F-L-E-E.
Like
run away!
Okay, I get you now, yeah. On a side note, you guys really couldn't go a whole episode of me without me, you know, doing something kind of weird, so that way you could have a lap next last time on Beyond the Veil, you know. Yeah, I sang Summer Nights, but that was so worth the 3 days of suffering. I'm still suffering for it after, yeah. But anyway, back to the show. Do-do-do-do!
I gotta post this.
I think I broke them. They're posting stuff and not talking. What's going on?
Yep, you need to get well so you can text.
Oh my god, it's catching.
You're contagious.
It is. I think she just had like a drink or something and went down the wrong hole.
No. It's spreading. Yes, it's spreading. Trust me.
Yeah, it's spreading. It's spreading across the water. Oh my god.
It's worse than filth. Trust me.
Oh, thanks you. I'm your husband. Wow. Faye,
hey,
there's
considering...
your next time on Beyond the Veil. He spreads like filth.
The affection.
Can you feel
or in this case, the infection.
Tonight?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. No, you have a message. You need to get well so you can text next TL build.
Sweet.
Yeah, because a little birdie landed on our shoulders and told us, hey, guess what's on Test Live? Tokyo!
Yay!
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 And yeah, don't worry, this is a spoiler-free episode. We're not going to give anything away. There's plenty of other people there who don't want anything spoiled. And, you know, we've already had a little bit of tidbit and, like, you know, something to wet our whiskers, as it were, with some information about Tokyo, namely some of the characters that we're going to be meeting there. So have you guys had a chance to get yourself familiarized with some of these characters? Their names are Sarah, Gozen, Inbeda, Damon Kyoto, and Kurt Buster Kuzchak.
I would say that says Kuzak.
I am saying Kuzchak.
I'm not even going to attempt that one.
What about John Kuzak? Isn't that Kuzak? Isn't that the same? It's spelled the same way.
Yeah,
it's not spelled the same way, I don't think, is it?
Kuzchak. 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 Yeah, I like mine better.
His name's Buster.
Yeah.
Which is, like, ironically, like, the best nickname ever. Yo, Buster, what's happening? Oh, not much, man.
But you know what? His is like every other character that we've been introduced to. I can almost like start, and you're probably going to say that there's something wrong with me when I say this, but go ahead. I'm going to say it anyway. I can almost like hear the tone of their voices and kind of get a sense of how they're going to be played as characters, right? But when it comes to Buster, I'm like, so are they gonna play him like the crazy nut? Like, you know, the crazy nut who's like, you know, dangerous? Or is he gonna be like one of those characters that are get completely and utterly funny as hell and get humorous to the rest of the population around them? When they go through something, you know, traumatic and... Yeah, that just didn't sound too well. But what do you, what did you guys think of? Yeah, we'll see about that.
Kuzak is Polish, so I think he's gonna be VTech. You know, we have a friend. We have a friend from Canada. He moved from Poland to Canada, and he only speak the little bit of English, and then I taught him some more English. He taught me a little bit of Polish, so I can say stuff like blada dumpa, kiego. Yeah, anyway, so I'll stop swearing in Polish.
But and probably if anyone from Poland is hearing there, or if someone who understands the language, you're gonna be like, you didn't swear at all.
I know. Yeah, he's probably, yeah. Anyway, the thing is...
Like, why is he talking about beef franks?
What?
Anyway, well, that's what they'd be saying.
Well, according to what I'm reading here, there is a Polish footballer who plays for Brighton and Hove Albion with the exact same surname.
Yeah.
And it does have the pronunciation here. As, well, the pronunciation is Kuzak. So it's basically Kustsak, essentially. That's the pronunciation.
But John Kuzak is Polish too, so Kustsak. It could be.
Yeah, but that's Americanized Polish.
Yeah. Yeah,
but you're South Canadians, so it's okay.
Hello.
I don't know why, but every time I look at
random hello.
I don't know why, but every time I look at that Buster, the first thing that came to my head, I don't know if you remember this computer game, but first thing that came to my head was Crazy Ivan.
First thing that came to my head was Step Away from the Bear. Kind of looks like that guy.
A little bit.
He does have with that a mustache. Streak.
Yeah, this guy's got a mustache, though.
Yeah, I bet you anything he created these, stains on his helmet. For some reason, he has a justification for it.
Doesn't it look like a little eye? Like an Illuminati eye or an Artemis eye?
Well, it's got one on both, one on each side. It's
symmetrical. I'm wondering if that's a beak, if those the chevrons in the middle are a beak, you know, so it's like a bird.
It's a Lady Gaga. He was born this way.
Yeah, so what did you guys think of the characters?
I thought it was pretty cool, especially the first one. You see Sarah and you think, that's the tutorial that, I took over her body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought it looked familiar, but I didn't place it back to the tutorial. It was just like, I know this female from somewhere. Where? Somewhere from the secret world, and I thought it was just like way back when. Good thing you mentioned it. So that's your favorite?
Well, yeah, because I've you see her in the tutorial, you take over her body, and now you actually want to know, like, I want to meet this person, and then say, you know, thanks for, you know, showing me Tokyo.
Well, and it's funny because at first, you know, I remember having the impression that she died, but then thinking about it, you know, as you come out of the tutorial and you're looking at, you know, the empty space or whatever it is, she's the only one that, the others survived too, apparently, but, you know, she's the only one that made it out of the collapse initially.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you don't know what happened to her.
I was saying, it kind of leaves on the, on a kind of a weird note at the end of that tutorial where you think, well, did she make it out?
Yeah,
it makes
exactly.
It look like you don't.
You want to find out what happened to her next, and now we can actually see.
I'm sorry. Doesn't anyone want to, like, have a Javex wash? No, seriously, like, her mind is now, like, the subway of every initiate into the secret world, as so is said in the write-up here that Funcom has. And, like, every initiate goes through her, so you never know what people are leaving behind or taking with them.
Especially if
they're
dragons.
That's kind of creepy. Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Well, now, did she... Is it really her memory, her mind that you're going through, or is it somehow her memory was transferred to the other groups?
It just says that it was Sarah's experience that we experienced as our own.
Right. So it doesn't mean that we've been all tromping through her
through her brain.
Not according to what's written here, yeah.
Somehow she got a message or a psychic, you know, I don't know. Well, I hope we find out why it is that it was her mind and not one of the other people.
It does say here in the write-up, it says, she is now a psychic conduit. Thousands of people trample through her head, through her memories.
Nope, you are right.
Every hour of every day.
Would I lie to you?
Yes.
Okay, so now I'm speculating again, right?
That's a lot of erotic foot massages, dude.
Yeah, totally.
So is she like the character the Golden Girl at the end of one of the instances? It's been too long.
Oh, well, Oscar's girlfriend.
Yes, Oscar's girlfriend.
Slaughterhouse.
Oh, Helena.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one.
You know, are we going to encounter Sarah and she's basically, you know, gone beyond
the veil?
Gone beyond the veil, yeah.
She's a transhuman of some kind.
Tune in next week.
I hope not, because Helena... You should listen to the kind of crazy stuff that Helena says at the end of Slaughterhouse? No, Facility.
Yeah, just a bit.
She's nuts.
She's a little bit cuckoo.
Daffy wants to dance, and I'm saying no.
That was random. What?
Yeah, for people watching the live stream.
You can dance if you want to. You can leave your past behind.
Yeah, so we finally get the name of the person on the issue
comic cover.
So her name is Gozen. So it is a female. Some of you were wondering before whether it's a male or a female, saying that some of the features were kind of looking like male.
But
is a woman.
I'm sorry. I do not... I think of Tokyo. The first thing I think of Tokyo is the love hotels. Then I'm thinking erotic foot massages from dragons. Then I think of her. And then I'm thinking, crap.
See, okay, so they showed her... When they showed the three of them together, her and Embedda and Diamond together on the same at the beginning of that comic.
Yeah.
You saw the sharp line on her cheek, and in the comic it looked like it could be, you know, like just the way it was drawn, it could have been, you know, sharply defining her cheekbones or something like that, that she looked kind of gaunt. But here, it's much more clear that it's a scar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm guessing, judging by the write-up of the character, it looks like it might be like a sparring scar or something, because she doesn't believe in the way of the samurai.
Mm-hmm.
which wouldn't surprise me if it came from like sparring or something.
Yeah, I was about to ask, does anyone have any background on Jingo Clan or Queen Himiko? Or Himiko?
I don't know the Jingo Clan, to be honest.
Because it says the Jingo Clan were originally formed and still function today as Japan's unofficial imperial defense against the encroachment of demon kind. They are a pillar of stability in the maelstrom of chaos, which is today's Tokyo. The Jingo Clan have been liaisons of the Templars, but will help any secret worlder who takes up arms against the demons now infesting the city and the rising tide of filth. So this just sounds intriguing to me.
It's a pretty cool connection with Templars.
Yeah, I was like, ah, yeah, it's the Templars. Not Illuminati, not the dragon. Templars, baby.
That's not necessarily a good thing.
No. Probably not, but hey.
Hey, we've met Sonic. You guys all need erotic foot massages desperately.
It sounded like you said Sonic.
Sonic.
That's what I said.
Can't find anything on the Jingu clan.
Is it possible that it's a fictionalized...
It's possible it was made up for the storyline, yeah.
You might
the dragon.
Yeah, you might find something on Queen Himiko or Kami.
Yeah. Well, Kami are just spirits, just the Japanese word for spirits. Well, sort of. It's a bit more conceptual than that, but what was the other one, sorry? The Empress? Queen Himiko.
Himiko, yeah.
Now, Himiko is quite a common name that I've come across in many anime. So I might not find anything specific on that.
And we're walking.
Oh, hello. What's this? Himiko was a shaman queen of Yamataikoku.
That's almost helpful.
In ancient Japan.
Ancient Japan. What's the the word?
What, Himiko?
No, the she was the mystical queen of Himika. I don't even know what you said.
Oh, Yamataikoku.
Yeah, that.
It's a prefecture.
Oh, okay, so it's a place.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah. Yeah, it's historical. It's a historical character, but dates back to 189 AD to 248 AD.
Finally, they have an Empress Jingu, who is regarded by historians as a legendary figure because there is insufficient material available.
I did find something about an Empress Jingu, but it didn't seem to have any relevance to or any ongoing family line, because obviously being an empress she wouldn't have had rights to carry on a family line, I'm guessing.
It'll be interesting finding out more about
A lot of Japan tended to be patriarchal in nature, so more often than not an empress wouldn't have had a clan that followed after them.
Oh my god, wouldn't that be messed up if Arachi was owned by Google? Well, we go to Google and Google all our answers whenever we need to look for something. We Google it, right? Wouldn't it be really messed up if Google owned Arachi?
Yeah.
Or even vice versa, Arachi owned Google. Oh, that would be messed up, even more messed up.
Don't give Funcom any ideas. No. So, Inbeda. Is it Inbeda or Inbeda? I never know how to pronounce these things.
Hard to say. It's not a very Japanese name that I've ever come across.
An Oni demon. Oni clan. I think you mentioned them before, Gigabyte, did you not?
Yeah. Oni are quite a common supernatural creature in Japanese mythology. They're commonly referred to as ogres more than demons. The demon label was given to them by Westerners.
Or Davich in Hallsuite Access Chat says, I'm guessing this is in response to what Xander said about Orochi owning Google. Of course Orochi do. And yes, in beta, he's a demon. Yep.
He's an Oni mercenary.
Mercenary, that's right. It's interesting how he's Sonic working actually against his own kind.
Well, that's not surprising, you know, to be honest.
Yeah, working for the highest bidder.
Well, the Oni clans are very similar to the Japanese clans, would often fight amongst themselves. Especially when there wasn't an enemy for them to fight, they would just fight amongst themselves.
Yeah, kind of like gangs in big cities, or what is it, Chinese triads?
Yeah, sort of the triads, because the Japanese yakuza, things like that.
Yeah. So yeah, it'll be. Sorry, public.
And I was right about Ambeda. Yay! I knew that was the only.
Yeah. But what do you think about the bathrobe that he's wearing?
Oh, the tiger robe, yeah.
Well, oh yeah, you see, I never even connected it with a tiger, but now that you're mentioning it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, what's that?
He's actually got the gold headset and
the golden
rings.
Headphones, yeah.
Yeah.
He's like blinging bitches.
Yeah.
I want to know if that's like an iPhone in his pocket. Because that lead's going.
He doesn't have
pocket.
A golden tooth. He's not complete. There's still room for improvement there. Need a
His
golden
grill's
tooth.
On layaway. He'll be here by Tokyo. That's when they're going to install his grill.
Yeah.
What's that costume that was part of get your artwork into the game contest, Easy Living, was it? The one where they walked around
with
the
bathrobe?
Bathrobe. This guy is still going to wear bunny slippers. Wouldn't it be messed up if they were Oni slippers and it had little Oni heads on it, or like human heads? Or Orochi heads? Ooh, that'd be cool, Orochi heads.
Yeah, but it's interesting that he has this artifact that he bought on eBay, of all places, that helps him translate languages. It's like, wow, I want one of those. Universal translator, cool!
That's what that mask
totally.
Is?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought that was the internet group there.
Anonymous.
Me. Anonymous. I thought that was an anonymous mask.
No, that's a no mask. N-O-H. That is a sort of a branch of Japanese theater groups.
I was going to say, isn't it from like Kabuki?
Yeah, that sort of thing.
You could make a... What's the word I'm looking for? You can make a comparison or a parallel to the drama masks from ancient Greece. The the tragedy, comedy that are still the symbols of the theater.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does say that. Oh, sorry. Go
no,
ahead.
No, go ahead.
I'm just reading here. It says, Inbeta has a quite disturbing fetish for mannequins and wears a gnome mask containing the spirit of Konami. He bought this precious artifact on eBay, and it helps him translate virtually any language. So it is the no mask,
mm-hmm.
right? What do you think about his disturbing fetish for mannequins?
I'm just saying, dude, they make life-size sex dolls now, and they're on eBay for $99. Like, dude. Suppose I can't talk back, right?
Oh, Kan Ami. Kan Ami was a...
Hey, dude, watch that language.
Kan Ami Kiyotsuku. Kiyotsuku, I think that's probably it, was a Japanese no actor, author, and musician. And was quite well known by the looks of it. Kan Ami was the first playwright to incorporate the Kusamai song and dance style, as well as a number of other bits and pieces. So it's quite a... I don't know, quite a illustrious spirit to have, I suppose.
I want to talk to the artist. Seriously.
Yeah.
Why?
No, like, get him on the show, ask him where, you know, questions about, you know, how he, you know, envisions all this stuff.
It's quite an interesting take on the Oni, because it's not the sort of portrayal you usually see of an Oni. Oni, like I say, it's usually an ogre, you know, it's a big hulking fat thing with a big club, usually has a couple of little horns coming off his off the top of his head, doesn't usually have quite a pronounced muzzle to it. In fact, let me post a picture, if I can get this thing to work.
Ooh, yeah, I see them. We'll just Google them. But there's different interpretations of them.
Yeah, but they're usually around a common theme.
Yeah, that is true. But I guess this has to be...
I'm going to post one in the XS chat. There you go. That might not work too well, but...
The webpage is not available.
It's because the first part wasn't linked properly. If you block it in, copy it, and paste it into your browser, it should work.
I guess, you know, this is the secret world, and, you know, it wouldn't be too much fun if it was just directly copied off of somewhere.
Oh, no, I mean, that's why I'd like to talk to the artist and find out what sort of they were thinking of when they came up with that particular design.
Because they do need to have some kind of, you know, connection to the secret world, and they obviously have a character profile for that particular NPC and, you know, the entire storyline for the Oni monsters, demons. So, definitely.
You've been on Test Live and you've been fighting Oni. Do they look like that as well?
I've only been on Tesla like a couple of times, and I was more concentrating on, I haven't been on Tesla since Tokyo came on, so I can't really say much to that effect. Sorry.
Interesting.
I was more concentrating on the Aegis system, how it works and what to do when I was there those couple of times. But I will definitely be making an appearance there again to find out how Tokyo looks like.
Woo-hoo! I wonder if it still looks like it did back when Joel took that train ride. Yeah, I'm wearing through.
Yeah, because back then they had quite a bit of it built, right? But since then, apparently all the textures have had to be redone for Tokyo and stuff like that. So, you know, there's probably a whole bunch more going on there. And I don't think the Orochi Tower was constructed back then. Remember how he took her to this seaside where that train station is or something?
Yeah, and it's just like a silhouette. You can see the tower.
He said that's where the Orochi Tower is going to be, and everybody was like,
What if the NPCs are still the same? Because I remember someone said they thought they saw a Japanese Carter, you know, something that looked exactly the same, but was Japanese. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, there were a few, like... shall we say, characters there, like, that we saw during that video, but yeah, who knows if they're still the ones.
I want to know if that little boy that Carter describes, you can talk to her in Innsmouth Academy. She describes Emma Smith in Carpathian Fangs, but then she also mentions a Japanese little child or something. So I want to know.
I forgot about that. Yeah, you know, sometimes I think that now that I'm not so concerned about the build and the abilities that I use, that I can just go back, start a new character, and just pay attention to the storyline, but just the storyline, you know, so I can take notes and get immersed back into the story. And I can't wait for the main story mission to be repeatable all the way to the very end, which we already know that Tokyo part of the main story will be repeatable. The rest of it will come in, you know, a bit later. How later, we don't know, but Funcom's going to be working on making those missions repeatable, and not only making, like, you know, the Kingsmouth part of the mission repeatable, it's actually going to be broken up into parts of the story that you can take from certain NPCs who will, you can go to them and just do a part of the main story, so that if you like want to double check on something, or you know, you're not sure about something, you can always go back and repeat that mission. The only thing is, like when it comes to those choices, it's always going to be the first. Will it always going to be the first one that you make, or is it always going to be the new one? You know, the latest one.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. I'm like, does that mean I can take the gifts and whatever? I don't know. I was wondering when they said they were going to make it repeatable, are those bits going to be repeatable as well, or are those bits not going to be repeatable? And it's just the main story, main.
You know, I think like it's going to log you the first one you do.
Yeah, kind of
like, like when you do the do some of the missions, or well, like when you get lore, when you pick up the lore the first time, it's gone. You know, it's been logged. You can go back to the same location as many times as you want, but you've only ever did it once.
So you can basically go back in and re-listen to everything, see the cutscenes, you know, just absorb all the information again. But you won't get a chance to have a choice anymore. It's like your choice is made. You should have paid attention the first time around. We should stress that we don't know this is going to happen for a fact. We don't even know if it is going to happen this way. We're just like talking and throwing it out there how this might be repeatable. Will we be offered the choices every time, or only, you know, will it be logged the first time around?
I wouldn't be surprised if those particular pieces weren't repeatable.
Yeah.
I mean, the in-between stuff is like, you know, you're making a choice in between, but, you know, the main story is actually, you know, like something wicked, or, no, not what's it called? Dawning of an Endless Night, where you're fighting Beaumont. That's the main story. I mean, those choices were in between.
We're talking about the dream sequences?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, see, at the end of, I mean, I see what you're saying. You know, they don't exactly follow the plot, but they're almost more of an overarching plot than any of the other stories. You know, you fight Beaumont, and then I can't remember exactly what triggers it, but, you know, you end up in this dream space trapped, and you have to go through it. When you're knocked out by the at the end of the by the Orochi at the end of the Egypt sequence, you end up in the same dream world. So while we don't know yet what the consequences, we're told that there are consequences, but I haven't seen any real consequences to the moral choices, or, you know, what's truly the correct choice. You know what I'm saying?
If there even is one.
Yeah, or even if there is one. Like you said, you know, we don't know whether it was better to, you know, who are these benevolent people? Why have, or not benevolent? Why have they been trapped? Did we rescue them or did we unleash them? You know, that's something that that it's entirely possible that much like Lost, they don't know either. I suspect that they do know. But whether that impacts our abilities or our future choices, I haven't seen so far that it's limited anything. You always have the opportunity, no matter if you took the gift at the beginning or you jumped off the cliff or the second time around when you could fight or worship the filth dragon, or at the very end. Am I spoiling too much, or are we assuming people should know this?
We're
now
assuming people should know.
Okay, or at the very end when you rescue, you know, let the people out of the prison, or people, whatever they are, out of the prison or not, you don't, you know, you're given essentially the same choice every time. Unlike some other games where, you know, if you make a choice, then entire branches of the game are then closed off to you because of the choice you made. This is not that. So I would suspect that, you know, as long as they plan to continue the game, we will be continuing to see those sorts of choices where, well, you know, you did this, but, you know, here's a chance to make up for it.
I wonder if those same kind of dream in between bits are going to be in between the Tokyo or at the end of that. Like, do you get to make another choice?
I hope so.
That would be cool.
How long do you think they would keep that on, though, if they at the end of Tokyo just made you take another choice?
Well, and you know, obviously, to the extent that we have already unleashed whatever it is, you know, we left them in there. If you've made the choice to release the whatever they are creatures from the prison, you know, what is the next choice? That was the first really impactful choice. If you left them in the prison, then they're obviously still there, and they might be able to seduce you into releasing them again. But if you've released them, then, you know, the only other choice would be to, you know, try to stuff them back in, which I doubt, you know, an individual player character would or should have that kind of power. You know, you're talking Emma power or better. So I don't know. The other question is who are those angels? Because, you know, depending on, you know, which choice you made at the end, you know, you talked to one or the other angel and, you know, they were both kind of, you know, mildly perplexed by you as far as I could tell. I only got to see each sequence once, just like every other player, unless they made the same choice twice, and with two different characters. And so, you know, I'm almost, I'm as interested, if not more, in understanding those dream sequences or reviewing them and, you know, what did they say, you know, what clues did they leave, as I am about, you know, running through and killing Beaumont again.
Yeah, exactly. I want to know.
Totally.
Did we do this? You know, we have the filth here, stuff like this, you know, yeah, we have the filth bomb you guys talked about last week when you guys did the comic. But, you know, it just popped in my frond, like, you know, did we do this? Did, you know, everyone making that bad choice of releasing the people in the prison, you know, were they releasing the filth, you know?
I didn't release the people in the prison.
Oh, well, I did. You know, there's other people like me. There's other people before me. And let's just say if the secret world started the day that I got bit by a bee, or did it start like 10 years before I got bit by a bee in game? You know,
it's probably before. Because if you actually talk to the station master in front of us here in Agartha, he actually mentions filth in Agartha.
Yeah. So could it be the people, you know, making these choices as they get through their stories or whatever? Could they be ones releasing the filth?
You never know. In any case, it's going to be very, very interesting going back over those bits and pieces and listening to them again, seeing them again, you know, and being able to just go, oh, I need this bit and piece, you know, and just going back into the main story mission and just, you know, seeing the part that you are very interested in finding more about or confirming something. That's exactly the reason why the players have been asking for the main story mission to be repeatable. And Funcom has finally said, yes, it will be. Tokyo will be immediately. But the rest of the story, obviously, they have to go back and decide how to make it repeatable. Which portions, I guess, some might not be, which I'm thinking it could be those where it comes time for you to make a choice. It's like you've already made your choice and you're sticking with it. So, yeah, it'll definitely be interesting to see. But we also have one more character, Damon Kyoto.
What two more characters?
That was revealed for Tokyo. The leader of the occult branch of the Tokyo's Yakuza, the Karintokai.
Yeah, looks like interesting.
He does look like a bad guy.
Well, he is Yakuza.
Yeah, I was going to say he's Yakuza.
Yeah.
He has a tattoo up his neck.
Yep, it does look it, doesn't it? Or is it the filthy tentacles?
That's what I was wondering. I think it's a tattoo, though. They're just teasing us, saying, yeah, he's got a tattoo. Well, you don't get tattoos.
And he has this mystical pachinko machine which buzzes with magic. And Damon knows how to use it to turn it into a model of Tokyo. And the machine then predicts things. And Damon listens. And the dragon watches Damon with much interest. And he watches them. Dun dun dun.
That sounded really creepy.
Sound of pachinko machines, man.
What is a pachinko machine?
Pachinko is probably one of the most popular pastimes in Japan. Mm-hmm. It takes a bit of explaining, but pretty much gambling is not allowed in Japan. So pachinko is their way around it. Basically, it's like a stand-up pinball machine. And you flick these balls up and they go down on these little pins and you collect as many of these ball bearings as you can in these little trays at the bottom. You then take those ball bearings, to the kiosk at the front where you exchange them for basic items like pencils or something. You then take those to another kiosk where you exchange them for something else, and then you exchange that for money.
Oh, yeah.
It's weird.
It almost sounds complicated.
I haven't necessarily played on ones that are this elaborate, but when I was a kid, I had a pachinko machine similar, that just like he describes, it's just like little balls or whatever that blink, 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 blink all the way down to the bottom, and you get different points and stuff, depending on which direction the ball ends up in.
That's
or which
right,
little repository. Have you ever played Peggle?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot like Peggle, the computer game. Except you can't aim it, as I recall.
Yeah, just like Gigabyte mentioned, it's their way of going around the the gambling issue.
That's right.
David, you also mentioning that in Access Chat.
More often than not, most pachinko parlors tend to be run by the Yakuza in Japan. Because they're, as it says there, Daimon Kyoto operates in the ancient tradition of the Bakudo, who were actually the precursors to the Yakuza, who controlled the gambling trade.
Mm. So he is the agent of chaos. He's a madball tilted... He's a madball in a tilted machine, and just maybe his screaming laughter will break the dark days. Ooh.
Yeah, it's Tabletop Buster.
So what's your, which character did appeal to you the most guys, when you read this. Oh, sorry. I thought that we had kind of touched up on him first. He's the Arachi tank commander who was recently...
Bashikruzi.
Yeah, he basically saw what he saw and just went completely AWOL with his mind. And, yeah, so it actually says here that he exhibited signs of psychological breaking the moment he got to Tokyo. So, you know, who knows what kind of people Arachi have in their midst. You know, they might be going crazy even before the filth touches on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dr. Klein style.
I would hazard a guess that CAT scans are probably a requisite for Arachi style.
Yeah, so it's going to be quite interesting. Like I said, he does look badass in this photo, just looking at his eyes, you know, but I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how they will actually play his character. Will it be with a touch of humor, you know, that you can just go there and, you know, be like, you know, that line, step away from the bear. It's like the famous line.
Why does he look like Vincent Price?
I know, right?
Really? He does.
Do you not see it?
He does, yeah.
I was just thinking, you know, that would fit better with the maniacal laughter of Diamond.
Because this is Kurt Buster Kuzak. Sorry, someone had to.
So he kind of also reminds me of that guy in Continuum, the guy from the prison who ended up also being transported back in time, that. Made the time machine to go back to his present out of bicycle wheels and all kinds of other scrap metal. It made me think of that because of this. It says, now suffering a crisis of faith in technology, Buster spends his time ripping out all the electronics he can from inside his tank. He fires his pistol at anything that moves and at a lot of things that don't. Yeah, so like I said, plenty of awesome characters, but is like one in particular that stands out to you guys that you would really, you can't wait to meet?
And better.
Buster.
I want to hear the voice actor for Embedder. See what sort of tone they went with.
Is it going to be the screeching one, or is it going to be, you know, the deep, deep, deep voice?
I would expect it to be quite deep.
See, and I'm thinking it'll be like guttural almost.
Possibly.
You know, like, I can't, I don't think I can do it right now.
You can try.
You know, just very throaty, I guess. Raspy. Not necessarily, yeah, raspy. Not necessarily having a human vocal characteristic.
Mm.
Batman.
Yeah, a lot like Batman only without the without the congestion.
Begins. Yeah, Batman Begins. He was raspy. Batman: The Dark Knight. The Dark Knight is when he had too much, you know, shots of tequila and cigars.
He smoked an entire Marlboro factory.
Yeah.
I'm in better. This city just showed you
I'm Batman.
I'm in better.
I'm better. Better than
I'm
you.
I'm badass.
We still have to do an episode of him, like, pimp my crib with him, you know, once he gets his grill and, you know, all his bling.
He has got a lot of bling, hasn't he?
Uh-huh.
Him and the Count. I'm going to say Galactrix? Sarah.
Oh, sorry, Rowan. Yeah, it was Sarah?
I don't know what happened to Galactrix. Is he still on?
Yeah, I'm still on.
Okay, well, you talk then.
He's just very quiet.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I think I would go for Sarah as well, just because that was the one that was familiar. Like, I want to know what's happened to Sarah since the... Like, how did she get out of that weird, you know, subway with the planet things and, you know?
I'd say you were well excited when you saw her, weren't you?
Well, I was like, that's the image you see, and, you know, I think Xander's even used that image on some artwork and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she must still be around. Like, you know, she's not dead.
Although, I didn't realise she was a Council of Venice agent.
Exactly.
It wasn't really well explained in the tutorial, that one.
I think someone pointed out that each one of these characters has some kind of affiliation. Like, Sarah's the Council of Venice, Buster's the Orochi, you know, Gozen has the Templar thing. Diamond has the dragon, so is it even better the bling Illuminati one?
Well, here's why I think he's the Illuminati. It says specifically that he's a sword for hire, and the Illuminati are all about money.
True. That is very true.
So, you know, he's always, it's like, while his mercenary nature demands that he make some business of it, it's also doing what he loves. So, you know, he's always looking at the business angle. So I definitely think that he's oriented towards the Illuminati.
Just call me Daddy Warbucks. Don't worry, I'll put him through college. And his grill.
His grill. Yeah.
Seriously, we gotta talk to Tilty. Definitely... We gotta get him a grill. That'd be cool. Give Embedda a grill. We gotta make that like a thing on Twitter.
Yeah, it's definitely like we'd love to have someone on there that we can on here who we can talk more about you know, the creation. I mean, the creativity of people behind the secret world is just amazing. And I'm just, you know, it occurred to me now, they've said many times that, you know, the story of the secret world, like the main story, what's going to be happening has been like forged way back when, you know, what's going to be happening. But I'm just wondering to what extent it has changed over time. Maybe, you know, new monsters being added. When were they created, including Embedda? You know, it's just amazing because you saw the picture that Gigabyte posted in XS chat, and you know, the Oni demon, and then you know, seeing now Embedda, it's like, yes, there are similarities, but like we said, there is this TSW twist to it, and it's just amazing the amount of creativeness that people have that are working on this game and creating these awesome things. It's just wow. So which, when it comes to, you can kind of catch the glimpses, of course this is the secret world, we are about the outfits, right? So, which outfit would you love to have in game immediately, if you could choose
of these characters?
Yeah,
I like Diamonds.
I want to see Buster's.
I like Diamonds actually.
Yeah, cool suit.
It is a cool suit. I don't think it's necessarily unique. I also like Sarah's jumpsuit, but
Sarah's jumpsuit's already in game.
Yeah,
I want Gozen.
Well, to a great extent, so is Diamond suit.
Yeah,
you can get. I mean, Alistair actually likes to run around in a pinstripe suit.
Yeah, that's true.
I like Buster's. I like Buster's suit. I don't really like the helmet all that much, but I like the jacket.
We got the ballistic mail coming, so that's gonna take care
of
that part.
Well, hopefully, sometime soon. I'm like dying of an anticipation. I want them to tweet leak, like tweet leak a picture of Wussy Vale just to hold me over.
Yeah, but I love the... is it kimono? What Gozen is wearing.
Yeah. They all look cool, let's face it.
Yeah. I mean, it. Like I said, it is a secret world. Even in Beta's bathrobe, tiger bathrobe, people would kill for that, literally. We already
I
have...
I hope not.
Hey, it's the secret world, of course. we already have the golden headset.
Yeah.
So, it'd definitely be cool to have these things.
Just need the mask and the bunny slippers.
Yeah, I have to say, you know, how... Because this article about Characters of Tokyo came, like, what, a couple of days after the game director's letter. And I was kind of hoping that they're going to release something else by this time, which is, what, the 14th, 15th for some, early in the morning. And, yeah, and I keep on, you know, checking their website and be like, oh, come on, we want to know more.
You want to know the places of Tokyo, like Tour of the Love Hotel.
Yes. Something. something, definitely. But, yeah, we have been promised and Funcom always delivers. So they did say that there will be several articles about Tokyo. And let's face it, it's only half of the month of May that has come and gone by. So we still have a good 2 weeks in which they can actually post some more information about Tokyo. And as we mentioned before, Tokyo is on Test Live servers right now. So if you are a subscriber or a Grandmaster, you have the ability and, you know, the possibility, the opportunity, to put it a Ferengi way, to go on to the Test Live servers, log in there. It's very, very simple how to do it. You can find all the information on our forums. If you don't know, you can always send us a tweet about it or an email. Send it to us at beyondtsw@gmail.com if you're unsure how to go about it, and we'll happily send you more info. We've mentioned it several times in several different episodes. So if you are re-listening them, you know, go backward and you'll definitely hear us explain in more detail how to go about switching the one single file in order to grant you access to Test Live servers. Do go there, do test out the content. It's not about getting to check out the new content. It's about testing it out and trying to catch the bugs before... you know, providing feedback also to Funcom about some things that either go wrong or some things you think, well, okay, this is not supposed to be like this, or something that might need tweaking. Test Live people are those who have the power to change something. You know, if the majority of Test Live people just go like, yeah, that's not going to happen, or nah, it shouldn't be like this, Funcom will definitely reevaluate what they've done, and they will make some tweaks to the content. So they do listen to Test Live people and what they have to say. So, you know, if you feel adventurous, just saying, there's always Test Live.
I hope they're testing things in groups. Remember the issue 6, you grab the arc and then you get trapped behind a thing? Yeah.
Yeah, and that bug is still there.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it? Yeah. Oh, I remember how many times we had to redo it. And only one person at a time could get the whip. Oh, wait, you get it in the next 4 days. Yeah, so we have more interesting news coming out from the game, and that is that the winners of the Alexandria Initiative fanfiction contest have been announced, finally. The the community has responded wonderfully when it came to submitting their stories for this first ever fanfiction contest. The theme was Kingsmith. You could write up a piece about anything as long as it involved Kingsmith in one way or another. And the winners have been announced. And I think the judges might have had quite some trouble picking even the honorary mentions, because it's like, well, it was supposed to just be one, but it ended up being two. So, yeah, in the third place, we also have two people. It's just crazy, 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 the quality of writing that has gone into this. I think we should kind of compile all the stories and maybe put them in the game somewhere. You know, at least these first three, I think it'd be cool for them to kind of, you know, be immortalized that way. What do you guys think?
I think it would be cool, yeah.
Yeah.
Where do you think they could put them in the game?
Well, you know, you can put them, like, they have that, what is it? I forgot that magazine. Where
Hive
people
Mode
submit
magazine, yeah.
Hive Mode, yeah. So maybe they could put that in, like, places like that in the hubs, you know, where there's lots of players. I think it would be fairly nice of them to do it. But then again, you know, if this contest is as popular as it's proven, it might, you know, if it does go on for quite a while, they might have to put in quite a, sorry, coughing again, they might have to put a whole bunch of stories in there, and, yeah, so on that note, they might decide not to, but it would be cool nonetheless. So, who are the winners? Who are the honorary mentions? We'll start with the honorary mentions. Rowan, because I'm coughing so much, would you mind reading them out?
Sure. Hold on a second. So the... wait, which order am I going in?
Honorary mentions.
Okay, the honorary mentions first. So the two honorary mentions were set aside by the judges to receive 300 Funcom points. The first one was Dutch Florin, the winning for best comedy and best use of the word "arr" in their, or maybe "ah" in their seminal work, Fired, a one-act play. Vomer also received an honorary mention for best seasonal and best use of product placement for Krampus Gets a Cola. In third place, there was a tie for third place, MK Ultra and Chesty LaRue for Paradise Found and Dumpster Diary, respectively. Each one got 1,200 Funcom points. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. 600 Funcom points. And in second place was Sin Shadis, I could be completely butchering the name, for Tiny Normals, and that person got 1,200 points. And in first place, we had Fianchetto, who won for Sandcastles, and this person got a perfect score from the judges and won 1,600 Funcom points. Congratulations to all the winners.
Big, big, big congratulations. And if you do have any questions regarding the contest, feel free to contact Marcy and Tobey on the forums. Marcy has left it to the judges to announce themselves, should they choose to do so. He has not publicly announced who received how many votes and stuff like that. He does have valid reasons why he chose not to do it. He did say, however, if any of the entrants to this contest would wish to know what score they got and what was the feedback, They should feel free to contact him on the forums. There's, I think, already one of the judges, I forgot the name. They have also publicly said, yes, I was one of the judges. Feel free to contact me for some sort of, if you're interested in feedback. So there's lots of people out there who have submitted their work and are wondering, well, how did I do? So this is the way to go about it. If you do have the time and if you wish to know what the feedback was on your work. But yeah, very well, you know, run contest, and the response from the community was phenomenal. So congratulations again to Fianchetto, Sinchatus, MK Ultra, Chester LaRue, Dutch Florin, and Vomer for, you know, creating such great stories that that just fired off the imagination of everyone on the judging panel. So what else have we got? Of course, the Whispering Tide event, the Rising, has been happening since May 7th. And May 14th, for some today, for some of us yesterday, was the closure of the three gathering phases, okay, where you actually have to collect, not collect, but gather all the pure metal or pure dust and fire, or I think it was water with any rune, and you were filling those barrels. Well, now they're filled, and the instances are now available for players to play again, which means all the dungeons, the Flappy's back, so you have time until the 21st of May in order to play these instanced phases of the Whispering Tide event. If you have not before, if you need it for an achievement or something like that, if you do have a normal and nightmare mode when it comes to the dungeon, I do believe that's for phase two, you only need to do the normal mode in order to get the achievement. You don't need to do the nightmare one, but you do need normal. Like, if you're going to do just nightmare, you won't get the achievement. So you definitely need to make sure that you do the normal, and then you can continue on doing the nightmare one if you wish to do so. And in other news, there's going to be some changes coming up to the auction house with a 1.9 release. Right now, there's a lot of you that probably noticed that you're not getting all the results. You're only getting about first 50 or so. The rest are just hidden. You're not able to see them. You're not even able to scroll down. You can only see the first 50 or so. The searches come back incomplete. So sometimes even if you're selling something, and so you know you've just advertised it for sale like a day ago, and you try to search for it and it's not there, well, don't worry, it's there. It's just that the searching tool for the auction house has been a bit messy, and well, it's been a bit flippy. So sometimes it shows certain results to you, sometimes it doesn't. So the changes that are being done are done to the way that the auction house searches for results, and additional filters are going to be added so you can search for different rarities and stack sizes so that you actually get all the relevant results. That should cover the most major bugs of the auction house changes. One reminder though, if you have submitted something for sale, it will only be on the auction house for 7 days, okay? After 7 days, it will be taken off the auction house, so it will not be listed there anymore. But if you have not sold it in the 7 days, It will still be left in your inventory with the for sale icon that will remain on that object. So you need to cancel the sale and then resubmit it if you so wish. And yeah, I think that covers tonight's show.
Yay!
Everything is awesome.
So just quickly going back to the Whispering Tide stuff. So on the 21st, all the first two instances will close. The Enter the Filth Phase 1, which is a solo run through. I think you get one fragment for doing that, and there's a 30-minute cooldown. And Enter the Filth Phase 2, which is a group run through the Filthy Corrupted Agartha. You get two fragments for doing the normal, and you get four fragments for doing the nightmare.
That was three.
Yeah. There's a cooldown on the nightmare one, which is 30 minutes. And then the, what's it? The normal one has no cooldown, so you can just keep running that and gain two fragments. But the third one, Flappy, is open until the 28th.
So oh, I wonder 28th. If that's...
Yes, that's on the launcher. So Flappy will be around for another week. And I guess Tokyo comes out on the 28th then.
Hey,
it better be May. It says so on the... what's it called?
Yeah,
oh my
on
god.
The, on the comic.
On the thing.
On the cover.
Cover!
On the thing!
Yeah, that's why I think it will be the 28th. Because if there's a... Grandmaster, subscriber, whatever, early access, then that would be 28th, 29th, and 30th, and then everyone gets it on the 31st. That would still be in May, so...
They would really cut it...
exactly.
Close.
That calls for a song. Do I get to play the song? Should I play it?
Flappy?
Oh. Yeah.
Right, you can play it at the very end, huh? Because we're the two of us are coughing and barely talking.
Yeah, we gotta say goodbye, and then you can play it at the end.
Hello, Xander.
What?
Oh, sorry. I thought that you were gonna do the goodbyes.
Oh, okay. So yes. Everyone, tune in next Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here to Hollow Sweet Excess for more Beyond the Veil, the Secret World. And we'll see what all kinds of good, some wholesome awesomeness is coming down the turnpike. And, yes. That's a wrap. Bye, everybody.
Yeah.
Bye.
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 I seem crazy what I'm about to say. But it's close to 3 hours, you can take a break. I'm gonna make a regroup and I got space. Whatever gear, I don't care, guys, by the way. Huh. Because he's Flappy. Come along if you feel like getting some extra loot. Because he's Flappy. Come along if you're a noob. I guarantee we will not boot. Because he's Flappy. Come along if you know not to stand in the poop. Because he's Flappy. Come along if you feel like that's what you want to do. Hey, come bad news, it's a bladder sack. You might get drinks for health or attack. What? I should probably warn you about the AOEs. Yeah, if you ain't fast, you'll be on your knees. Here's why. Because he's Flappy. Come along if you feel like getting some extra loot. Because he's Flappy. Come along if you're a noob. I guarantee we will not boot. Because he's Flappy. Come along if you know not to stand in the poop. Because he's Flappy. Come along if you feel like that's what you wanna do. Flappy! Burn him down. Zubair is here. Burn him down. Kill she who crawls. Burn him down. Too many ants. Burn him down. I said,
say it now.
Burn him down. Zubair is here. Burn him down. Kill she who crawls. Burn him down. Too many ants. Burn him down. I said,
because he's fluffy.
Come along if you feel like getting some extra loot.
Because he's fluffy.
Come along if you're a noob. I guarantee we will not boot.
Because he's fluffy.
Come along if you know not to stand in the poop.
Because he's fluffy.
Come along if you feel like that's what you want to do.
Because he's fluffy.
Come along if you feel like getting some extra loot.
Because he's fluffy.
Come along if you're a noob. I guarantee we will not boot.
Because he's fluffy.
Come along if you know not to stand in the poop.
Because he's fluffy.
Come along if you feel like that's what you want to do.
Fluffy,
burn him down. Zubair is here. Burn him down. Kill she who crawls. Burn him down. Too many ants. Burn him down. I said,
because he's fluffy.
Come along if you feel like getting some extra loot.
Because he's fluffy.
Come along if you're a noob. I guarantee we will not boot.
Because he's fluffy.
Come along if you know not to stand in the poop.
Because he's fluffy.
Come along if you feel like that's what you want to do.
Because he's fluffy.
Come along if you feel like getting some extra loot.
Because he's fluffy.
Come along if you're a noob. I guarantee we will not boot.
Because he's fluffy.
Come along if you know not to stand in the poop.
Because he's fluffy.
Come along if you feel like that's what you want to do. Come on.
HollowSweetMedia.com and iTunes for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at BeyondTSW. If you have any questions or comments, please send us an email to BeyondTSW@gmail.com and join us next week at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for another episode of Beyond the Veil, a place where hilarity always ensues.